Good morning. I'm going to pull this back and stand up on this step because I'm a little short. Okay, so now you can all see me. So when I was in high school, I participated in a lot of activities, and some of you may know this about me, maybe not. I played the clarinet, I was part of the choir, I was in the science club, I was the mascot my senior year, I was a swimmer, and I was a water polo player. Now, some people are pretty shocked when I tell them that I played water polo because they say to me, I thought you had to be pretty tall to play that sport. And, you know, truth is, most water polo players are a lot taller than me. But then again, most people are taller than me. So, when I played water polo, I was often picked last in the scrimmage because of my size. When we were playing in other games, the teams often pegged me for the weak person on the team because they could see I was the shortest, so they figured it'd be a lot easier in the water to kind of push me around. I remember my junior year, my team was playing at state, and we had the ball, and we were down on the offense, and we were going to score, and of course, their goalie blocked us, and so I sprinted back to the other end of the pool, and in the chaos of us getting over there, I found myself in the center on defense. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with water polo, that is the position right in front of the goal. Most people that play in that defensive position are about twice my size. So here I was, and I was defending this girl, and she was big, she was strong, and she was going to backhand that ball into the goal. And I tried as hard as I could, and we were wrestling under the water, and small as I may be, I was able to defend her from scoring that round. So I was pretty proud of that. Thank you. After that game, my team all got together and they nicknamed me Xena the Warrior Princess. And they had it, wrote it on my shoulder for all the games after that in state. I may have been the smallest water polo player on my team, but size did not determine what I was capable of. Because when we look at what's on the outside, it's not always equal to what comes from the inside. Today we're going to look deeper into a parable where we will see how God's kingdom grows not from the great and the mighty, but from what appears as the small and insignificant. Please pray with me this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you have brought us all here this morning. We pray that you would silence our minds, bring us to a calm place. We ask that you would open our ears that we can hear you speaking this morning, our eyes that we can see you in front of us, and our hearts that we can feel your presence here in this room. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. What is the kingdom of God like? I asked this question to a number of children as I was preparing for this sermon. And as you can imagine, I got a lot of really fun responses. Many of the kids described the kingdom of God with lots of gold and silver, with pearls and diamonds, things that are shiny and bright. Many of them said that God's kingdom has clouds for the ground. Some of them described a throne and Jesus, a place where there are no sorrows. And one little girl said a place where there's no bad guys. There was one girl who said, I imagine that there's a lot of people there. And then she paused and she said, but wait, we might not have our physical bodies, so I think I imagine a lot of invisible stuff in God's kingdom. That made me laugh. Another common answer to this question was love. God's kingdom is a place of love. Now, most of the kids came up with descriptions that would capture our attention, things that really draw us in. They're extravagant. However, when Jesus answered this question in his parable, it's quite different from the way the kids describe the kingdom of God, and possibly quite different than the way some adults may describe it as well. Hear the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make their nests in it." This is the word of God. Jesus describes this kingdom like a tiny mustard seed. Do you all know what a mustard seed looks like? How tiny that is? It's not very shiny. It's not a diamond or a pearl. It's just this tiny little mustard seed. And first of all, the type of mustard seed that this parable is referring to is not the type that we are accustomed to cooking with or that we see. It's not like the yellow mustard seed. It's a black mustard seed. It's very similar in size. It's about 1 millimeter. So it's this tiny little thing. You could lose it. It has almost no aroma, but it's one of the most flavorful seeds if you cook with it. Now, this type of mustard seed, this type of mustard seed, when planted, it can grow anywhere between 4 and 9 feet tall. From this little tiny 1 millimeter seed. Who would have ever thought that if you planted a mustard seed, it would grow 4 to 9 feet tall? Jesus describes this as this great tree. However, most people, when you think of 4 to 9 feet tall, 4 feet, I'm just a little taller than 4 feet. So taller than most of us if it's 9 feet tall, but most people consider that to be a shrub and not a tree. This parable is found in 3 of our 4 Gospels, but Luke, however, is the only author that, when he talks about this, he says that it was planted in a garden. Now, usually mustard seeds aren't planted in gardens. They're planted in fields. But when Luke wrote his gospel, he was writing to a primarily Gentile audience, and they wouldn't have been accustomed necessarily to the Jewish traditions and beliefs and practices. And so he transcribed this parable that Jesus shared in a way that his audience would understand, that the seed was planted and it grows. In many ways, Jesus is like this mustard seed. He was born a tiny baby, powerless, appearing insignificant. Every year we come together and we celebrate Advent, the birth of Jesus. And we come to celebrate and reflect on this baby who is a king. Born of a virgin, had no place to put his head. So he was laid in an animal manger, given shelter in a barn. Most of us probably wouldn't even think about taking our newborns to lay them in a manger or anywhere near animals. But from the time of Jesus' birth, he was humbled. In his life, he endured pain, he experienced hunger, and he lowered himself in the form of a servant. And like that tiny mustard seed, Jesus became like a tree when he fed the 5,000, when he healed the blind and raised the dead, when he forgave sins, and when he ascended into heaven. In this tiny parable about a mustard seed, we see how the kingdom of God grows from what appears to be small and insignificant into a powerful and mighty kingdom. God did not choose to establish his kingdom through power and force, but he chose to establish through this tiny baby. God's kingdom grew organically through the simple yet powerful acts of Jesus. And like the mustard seed, Jesus may have appeared insignificant and small, but he packed a lot of power in his acts of service and ministry. Jesus was a radical who didn't follow the rules. He healed on the Sabbath. He surrounded himself with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. People who you wouldn't think about looking at as significant people that would be building this great kingdom. Not the typical people that a kingdom would be established around. And we see in multiple places throughout the Bible where Jesus reached out to the ordinary, the appearing insignificant people. And it's through Jesus' acts that we're able to see how he established a kingdom that is powerful, extravagant, and abundant without using force. So who comes to this kingdom? In the parable, Jesus goes on to describe this tiny seed that grows into a great tree that branches out, and all the birds come to make their nests in this tree. Now, when I think of a tree, I think of all the things that a tree provides for us. It provides us with oxygen. It produces shade and shelter. It protects us from wind and rain. It provides us with beauty to look at. Birds often choose to make their nests in a tree because it's a place that they find shelter in. It's a place where they can make their home, where they can lay their eggs, where they can watch their baby birds emerge from the nests and take flight. It's a place of safety. When I first read this parable, I imagined the birds as being many different people that all come together, people from different walks of life, coming into the shelter and the protection of God's kingdom. I imagine people living in this kingdom because they feel a sense of belonging. Similar to the ways that we all come from various walks of life and different backgrounds. Yet we have all come together under God's shelter. The birds here not only represent different people, but they represent nations being brought together. As I mentioned earlier, Luke's audience in this gospel was to the Gentiles. And he was writing to a group of people, a nation, that was being brought into the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is a place for all people to come, to rest, to feel safe, and to feel a sense of belonging. Paul reminds us in the book of Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. God's kingdom is a place for all people. It's a place where unity is cultivated. So how do we cultivate this unity amongst our great diversity? If any of you have ever grown anything in a garden or in a field, you know it's a dirty process. We make a mess out in the garden, we get dirt under our nails and in all the crevices of our hands. There are times when I've come in from being in the garden and I go to wash up, and then I still find dirt in places that I couldn't just simply wash it off. The kingdom of God is a much more organic and dirty kingdom. And while I love the children's descriptions of gold and silver, pearls, bright and shiny things, God's kingdom doesn't shimmer with precious metals and jewels. It stands out because of the variety of people and nations that are being brought together. It stands out because even with the dirt and the mess, something beautiful is emerging from it. A kingdom that is filled with love. The kingdom of God is like a tiny mustard seed, small, yet packed with flavor and zest. When planted and cared for, it grows and it attracts people from all different backgrounds. It provides shelter for all who come. The kingdom of God is like a powerful mustard seed. At first appearance, it may seem small, but it's quite powerful. God's kingdom was not established out of sheer force and power, but it was grown through the marginalized people, through the seemingly small and insignificant people, and it continues to grow today, despite our own weaknesses and feelings of insignificance. Growth is a process. A tree never starts out as a tall and mighty tree. It begins as a seed. It sprouts. It stretches its roots into the ground and eventually branches out in many different directions. And those branches aren't necessarily connected to one another, but they are connected to the trunk of the tree, just as we are all connected to Jesus. In each of our lives, a seed has been planted. And we've had people who have come into our lives to help nourish us along our journeys of growth. There was a time when we all took our first steps into this church, into this room. Maybe for some of us that was today. Maybe for some of us it was 18, 20 plus years ago. But we all came here. And when we first came, maybe we were afraid to walk in this room for fear of greeting somebody new or being greeted by someone we don't know. the fear of talking to strangers. Maybe we were afraid to come in here because we were afraid of judgment, thinking maybe that we're not good enough. Regardless of what our fears may have been, we are all here, and we have been brought into this room, into God's presence, and into his shelter. It may have been a messy journey to get here, but it's no mistake that we are here. We each have the ability to nourish the seeds in one another's lives. We may not all have the gift of talking to strangers or inviting them to join us in worship here, but we each have a gift, a unique gift to each of us. And we may feel small and insignificant at times in our lives, but know that there is something greater inside each of us, despite those fears that we have. God's kingdom is a place of growth. We don't come into his shelter to become stagnant and break apart. We may encounter people in his kingdom that we don't always like or necessarily get along with. But we're all here, and we've all chosen to build our nests in his branches. Growth can happen out of broken situations, but God's kingdom is not about being broken apart in order to grow. It's about growing with one another, even in our differences. It's about working with one another and branching out so that there are branches for all the birds in the tree. What does this look like in our daily lives? In order to grow, we must be willing to listen. We must be willing to listen to what God is saying and be willing to listen to people who may differ from our own thoughts. When we seek God's guidance and learn to listen, we're in a better place to cultivate growth. God is stretching each of us to grow from where we are. For some of us, maybe the seed has been freshly planted in our lives. For others, maybe it's starting to sprout. And for some of us, maybe we're branching out in different ways. Each of us has a part in growing God's kingdom. In truth, every time I stand up here, I'm nervous. Most of you might not have known that, but I'm letting you in on a secret this morning here. But God has called me and stretched me in ways that I never thought I was capable of. In our weaknesses, God will grow us. In our differences, God will grow us. He will stretch us to move against our fears and empower us to reach out in ways we never imagined. He is inviting us to get dirty and be a part of growing that tiny mustard seed into a great tree and a great kingdom. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you do call each of us, and you've gifted each of us in different ways, maybe ways that we aren't even aware of. But you call us to branch out in our lives, and you stretch us to grow, and you've invited us to be a part of your kingdom and to help it grow. Be with each of us this morning as we leave this building. Help us to keep in mind that you are always calling us to grow, Lord, and that you walk with us in that process. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.